there, say amen. So we got three people that have only found the book of Isaiah. Jesus. Okay, in the front of your Bible, there's a glossary. It's help me now. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 1, verse 8. Then I'm going to Matthew chapter 6, and then I'm going to Hebrews chapter 12. So the word that God's given me today is not just a word to teach, but is also prophetic in what God is speaking to me right now. I hope you have your spiritual listening ears on, because God is speaking to me a very strong word this morning. Amen? Amen? Turn to somebody and say, look, I need to listen today. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them, I need to listen today. Amen. If you don't have nobody else to touch, amen, touch your head right now and say, I need to hear this word today. You know, here is the key, and it's beautiful in the context that we demonstrated the kingdom of God. In that our first responsibility of the church that God has given to us is to worship God. Our first and primary part, look, the first priority is not what you're doing for God, it's what you're doing unto God. If you never get that part right, you won't get the rest of it right. Amen, I'm really ringing. Are you listening to me? If you don't get that part right, you won't get the rest of it. Well, I got things to do. Well, if you don't get the worship right, you won't get the rest of it right. You can't. Why is that, Pastor? Well, because this is the priority of the kingdom of God. And if you don't worship Him, in fact, I'm just going to give this to you real quick. This is for later on. Is it all right if I give you my third week's notes? Thank you. I appreciate it. Here's what I want you to put down. It's just some things that you can take a note of today. Is the church was created to preach the gospel of the kingdom. That's what we were created for. But here's the question. How are we going to do that? See, I want you to know that nothing's going to change anybody's life except the presence of God. It's just not. Anything else is just going to be a ritual. It's going to be a law. You can have somebody repeat after me the sinner's prayer. How many's ever done that? Repeat after me the sinner's prayer, right? I'm not saying that God can't save, but I want you to know is that what a lot of people are struggling with, they're struggling with the reality for God to change their life. Because we need God to change our lives, and it's not going to be changed without the presence of God. Amen. It's not going to be changed. But look, if you think we're going to do less worship, you're wrong. We're not going to do less worship. We're going to do more worship. Amen. Diane proved a point to me this morning. That's why God told me to have her sing. She proved a point to me again in the fact that she has a yoke-breaking anointing in her life to be able to break the yokes off of people's lives. And that's because of the worship that's in her life. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And we need more of that. We need more of something that will break the yokes off of people's lives. If we don't have that, then what we have is that we just have a form of godliness and we really deny the power thereof. See, the kingdom is no good without power. Because He said it to us Himself. He said, the kingdom is not in word. Are you listening to me? The kingdom of God, everybody say it, the kingdom of God is not in word. It's in power. See, it's in power. Amen. It's like me telling Karen the first day, and I got pictures of it so I can prove that we were married. Amen. And we got the marriage license, but I think it's almost dust at this point. But we got pictures of it. And so the day I married her, I remember that day as if it was yesterday. The most beautiful person I had ever seen in my life, coming down the aisle. I was so blessed, could not believe it. A street kid, an urchin like me, somebody who God had saved from the gutter, had given me such a beautiful bride into my life. So I say I do to her, and I leave the church and never see her again. See, that's what a lot of folks have done in the church. They said I do to Jesus, but they've never showed up for the relationship part. You better help me today because I'm going to preach. I said, somebody better help me today because I'm going to preach. Amen. You know it's the truth. Come on, turn to somebody and say, you know what? Pastor's preaching truth. Amen. I've done it. I've said I do, but never have followed through. Oh, I'm a poet and didn't know it. Come on. Said I do, but never have followed through. Said I do to the fact that, hey, I'm going to cherish you. I'm going to love you in sickness and in health, in good times and bad times, until death do us part. This is my commitment. This is my covenant to you. I say I do. I'm in this for the long haul. And then what happens is I never see her again. Well, Pastor, I've been in church. Well, big whoop. A lot of people have been in church. I ain't trying to be hard. But if you think church is the ultimate, you're wrong. That's why you're sitting here at Cornerstone, because church didn't get it done for you. Because if church would have got it done for you, you would have stayed in the place that you're at, because you want more in your life. And if we want more, we need to understand that the first priority of the church is not go out and blast the world. The first thing that we've got to do is establish a culture of worship unto God, that He is the primary source and essence of our life. And until He becomes the most important thing in our life, and we declare before the world, and that anybody that walks through those doors and comes in during our worship realizes that God is the only thing in our life that really counts, and everything else is secondary. And until that becomes the massive thing in our life, we're always going to worship some other god. We're always going to be out. Yeah, I do, but... Amen. Marriage is not just the fun part. Amen. Because you realize the older and the longer that you're married, okay? And we've been married a few years. The longer you're married, you realize that marriage takes on a whole different texture and layers. Amen? Amen? Some of you are in some bad layers right now. Hello. Amen. Just like looking at me like, who's he talking to? But those are the times. Now, I'm going to get into it in just a second. And in fact, I am going to get into it. In Isaiah, look here with me. In Isaiah chapter 6. Everybody there? Jesus, if you're not there, you've got to leave. Go. Go and study the books of the Bible right now. Just go outside. You can't be with the rest of us. Go. Isaiah chapter 6. Is everybody there? Amen. Look what it says. In the year, I'm reading out to you the King James Version. Everybody knows this is the Bible that Jesus used. In the year that King Uzziah died. Now I want you to look at that verse and I want you to say this with me. The year that my God died, I finally saw God. Let me tell you something, you're never going to see God until the thing that you keep worshiping dies. Said, until that thing that you keep worshiping and you keep exalting in your life above the worship of God, and that doesn't mean just somebody else. That can be an ideology, that can be a doctrine, that can be a thought, that can be a person, that can be you. Moah. It right here. And until that thing dies, you're never going to see God. You're always going to see the issues in your life. You're always going to see who you are and what you're trying to worship. That thing will always lead you in the opposite direction where God wants you. That's why worship is so emphatic. Why it's so paramount in our life. Why, Pastor? Because what worship does, worship makes you take your eyes off of you. Amen. I'm going to keep preaching. Going back to Karen and I, because it's about us today. Here's the other part of marriage. I say I do, and we get married. And then I never hug her. I never kiss her. Amen. You understand, this is how babies come along, right? How many understand that? Aaron, plug your ears, man. I don't know if your dad has shared with you yet. You guys share. Shana, close your ears. Andrew, right now. What kind of marriage you have without affection? Woo! Man, I didn't know this was going to be a marriage seminar. I thought this was going to be Sunday morning church, as usual. No. What good is marriage without intimacy, without affection? See, that's what worship is. It's not that I worship Karen. Okay? But that's a part of relationship. That's why God gives you marriage. That's why God created marriage. So that you could learn to have relationship. Because if you can't have relationship with each other, if you can't learn that, look, your relationships are indicative of your relationship with God. I know my mic's working, brother. I'm playing with you. Do you understand? See, until we learn to make worship a priority, we're never going to see ourselves. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. In the year that he died, in that moment, you're going to know the moment when that thing finally dies in your life and that you can lift your hands. See, you've got to come to the place when you're sitting in the house of the Lord. Here is the place you can come. There's got to be not only this place, but a place in your home, in your car, in your garage, in the woods someplace to where you can get alone with God and you can worship Him and you don't have to worship the thing that wants to plague you. Because as long as you don't have worship, that thing will hound you all the days of your life. But when you learn to worship God, you learn to make Him your soul, heart's desire. When you make it all about Him and not about you, God will begin to give you the answers for your life. I said, God will begin to give you the answers for your life. Amen? Come on, turn to Him and say amen. I'm glad I paid tithes this morning. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, look at this. Is everybody here with me? Look what happens. In the presence of God, finally there's a disconnect from the thing that he saw. It could be a fact that I know that historians say it was just the moment in time. But I think it was more than that. And I'm using it as an analogy today. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. How many knows that when God begins to come into your life, things are going to start moving. Things are going to start shaking. That's where we're going this morning in Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. Amen. Pastor Karen, she didn't know what I was going to minister this morning, but I appreciate it because it was a confirmation of what God had already spoken to me. In verse 5, he said, then said I, woe is me, woe is me. All of a sudden, the focus, as he had it on God, as this traumatic moment in his life moved him to a place of worship. And I can tell you today is this, either your life is moving you to worship or to worry. Either your life is being moved to worship, and whatever you are, wherever you are right now, whatever you're going through in your life, you are either, and you may not even recognize it as worship. You may recognize it as a place that, well, you know what? I need to start doing better, or I need to go back to church. I need to do something different. My life is a mess. We see to where it takes on this ritualistic downgrade that never seems to stop. And the reason why it doesn't is because what has happened is that our mind is constantly upon the issue, the problem, the dilemma, the thing that we are worshiping constantly. I can tell you right now, there's only one thing that makes, and I told Karen, this is something that we've been discussing here lately. If you don't have that worship, if you don't have that devotion to God, everything else will take priority. Everything will. There's always going to be something that's always going to come up in your life. There's always going to be something that's going to interrupt your life. It's always going to be something that's going to interrupt your intimate time with God. But how many times do we rush off going and doing what we're doing, thinking that we'll get back to it and we'll have that moment? But I am here to tell you today that it's in this time that Isaiah stopped and said, woe is me. All of a sudden, his whole heart, his whole life changed. We've made so many plans, so many decisions, so many things in our life, thinking we're going to go here, we're going to do that. We think ourselves that we're doing so many good works for the kingdom. There are so many good things. We are helping so many people. I've been in that place before. But I want you to know it's not until you're in the presence of God that God can begin to show you where you really are in Him. What you're really doing and whether it's really counting. I believe what he said, that if we are trying to build the house ourselves, unless the Lord builds the house, we build it in vain. And I can tell you today, if we're trying to build this house without worship, if we're trying to build it without intimacy with God, then we are laying some faulty stuff in our buildings. Amen. We think we're not, but we are. How many knows it's truth today? How many knows that we're laying some faulty stuff? How many knows some stuff can creep in? Amen. You know, I never knew the difference between, I thought 2x4s were just 2x4s. How many knows that's not true? Because there's crooked 2x4s and there's straight 2x4s. Now, you ain't going to realize that until you're trying to put up the wallboard. But if you got a 90-degree curve in that 2x4 and you put it up there and you lay that drywall up there, all of a sudden you have nothing to nail to. Because you need that drywall to pull everything together to make it strong. I want you to know today is this, that it is worship is where God's eye, not only upon us, but all of a sudden we allow God to see into our life. Worship reveals that thing. Worship must be a priority to our life because it's in worship that God gives us direction and we quit wasting so much time. Amen. Amen. You know, I love the scripture here. And I want to finish this and then we're going to jump over here to the New Testament. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. All of a sudden, his eyes shift from King Uzziah. Now they're on the King of kings, the Lord of lords. That's what worship does. Worship takes you over the things that are trying to rule your life, that are trying to run your life. And it shifts that. Worship shifts your focus from them to Him. Amen? Come on, say it. Worship focuses from them to Him. How many need some refocus? I said, how many need some refocus today? Oh, I tell you, I can be like a bull in a china shop, especially when I'm trying to get things done. Amen. Because I just believe in putting my shoulder to the wheel. Amen. Amen. If my ignorance can't get it done, then my bull brunt force can get it done. But how many knows? God knows how to get it done so much easier. I want you to know I sense some of your struggles this morning. I sense some of the struggles that you're going through. Some of you are desperately looking for answers in your life. You're desperately looking for solutions in your life. You're looking for peace. You're looking for direction in your life. You're constantly seeing the books on the internet or your friend recommending that book. That book helped me. Books are great. Got great knowledge in them. Knowledge is great. Amen. Knowledge is great. I'm a pursuer of knowledge. But I have to tell you today, I have found that my time is better spent in my pursuit of Him. Because if I don't pursue Him, then all the other voices that are speaking to me become dominant in my life. You can't help it. I got 11 people in my house. Amen. And I can tell you that many times it's a stream. It's a stream that comes. That's what I'm there for, not complaining. It's a stream that flows through. Dad, 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 Momo. That's what I'm called to do. That's where I'm called to be. But if I am not worshiping and I don't recognize His voice above everybody else's voice, then what happens is this. Their voices become louder than His voice. And when their voices become louder, when your voices become louder than His voice, then I'm no longer preaching truth to you. I'm no longer feeding you. Then what I'm doing is I'm obeying and bending my will to your will. Not my job to bend my will to your will. Because if I do that, then I am what? I am reinforcing the negative habits and the negative attitudes and the disobedience that lies in some of your lives. And if you don't have the truth, you cannot be free. Amen? Everybody say worship. Look what he says here. I love that phrase there. I want to read it again. Because I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King. It's not the King Uzziah. Amen. That's capitalized. The King, the Lord of hosts. Come on, everybody say my focus needs to shift. I said my focus needs to shift. Turn to somebody and say, I need to have my focus changed. Amen. How many of you ever saw something and you realize yesterday Karen was sitting, we were sitting in the family room and she said, oh my God, was that a mouse? We've been having problems with mice. So guess what we've been talking a lot about? Mice. I haven't been talking because mice don't bother me. Now, if it was a snake, I'd be up, amen, to my stick, hunting that puppy right now. He's got to die because you can't live here with me. But mice don't bother me. But nonetheless, you're talking about it, right? Everybody's talking about it. Steve was talking about it that morning. We caught this, caught that. Well, all of a sudden, here comes a shadow. Whoop, there's a mouse. So I am then commanded by the queen of the house to say, will you go shake that and see if there's a mouse behind it? Like, do we really want to do that? Because the next thing we're going to hear is you screaming. Amen? How about we leave the mouse alone? He'll find that box. He'll die eventually. Amen? The screaming ain't going to help. It won't kill the mouse. There was no mice. End of story. But how many knows that sometimes we focus on something. You focus in your mind before you focus with your eyes. And even though you're seeing it, you aren't seeing it because you're focused on something else. Sometimes we are so focused on one thing, we can't see anything else. We're so focused on the issue, the problem, that we can't see anything else. How many has ever had what I call that proverbial knot in the stomach? Amen. When something is wrong and you don't have an answer for it, you don't have a solution for it, and it's there, that anxiety, and then it spreads to the rest of the body and it spreads to the mind to where you can't get a clear picture. You can't think straight. then you start grabbing your head. How many hears what I'm saying to you? You start pacing. You start doing something because of the anxiety that fills you. But Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3 to be anxious for nothing. And he gives us the solution and he gives us the answer. But in all things, amen, by prayer and supplication. Here is the key to our life. The key to our life is that we've got to refocus from the kings in our life, the things that are lording it over our minds and over our families. The first purpose of the church is worship. That is the first purpose of the church. That is the first purchase. The first purpose of the church is to worship God. Unless we get this down, what do you think the enemy is going to fight more than anything else in this house besides me? That is going to be what? The worship. He doesn't want worship. He doesn't want free worship. He doesn't want anointed worship. So guess what he's going to do? He's going to attack those individuals that have been given the gift of worship. He's going to shake them. He's going to try them. He's going to move them to the left and to the right. He's going to shake their families. He's going to shake their finances. He's going to shake everything that they have. I want you to know that this up here, there is a great cost to pay for it. And before you came, before any of you worshipers came, me and Mother had already paid the price. God already told me we were going to have a worship team that was going to be sold out, that their minds and their eyes would be on nothing else except the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why? Because it's through anointed worship that chains are broken. We don't even understand the man who was the worship leader in heaven, who was Lucifer. The name there means morning star. His Hebrew name is Hillel, or praise. And he was the worshiper in heaven. And what happened was, where it all went wrong and it went sideways, is when he wanted the worship that God was getting. Hello. And the next thing that Lucifer did, he caused division and separation with the angels in heaven. I mean, how stupid. Seriously. I give it to Lucifer. I mean, it was found in him the day that iniquity was found in his heart. And what he said to himself, he said, I will exalt my throne above his throne. I want his worship. See, Lucifer wanted his worshiper. He wanted the worship that God was receiving. And I want you to understand is this today, that when that Luciferian spirit begins to come into a worship team, it begins to kill, it begins to divide, it begins to separate. Why? Because that is the place. That is the frontline ministry. That is Judah. Judah goes first. Judah plows. Judah is that one who begins to break down and leads us into a place to where that we and our focus can be only on him and not on me. Sunday morning should be one time. Wednesday should be those times to where that this should be the safest place in Wilkes County. Not the most dangerous place. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? I should be one of the safest people, not one of the most. Well, I am pretty dangerous. Amen. I'm wanted, dead or alive. Amen. Bon Jovi reference, sorry. But look with me here. Let me finish. Isaiah chapter 6. Are you still with me? Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he did what? He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, he hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquities is taken away, and thy sin purged. Wow. Listen to verse 8. Isaiah comes to a revelation. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Wow. Do you think that voice is still, that it's not speaking any longer to the church? I think that voice is still loud and ringing today. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, send me. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, many are looking for the plan, the will, the purpose in their life. Can I share something with you today? Whatever you're going to be, if you've not included the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in whatever your endeavor is, what end will it come to? You may be the most successful lawyer, doctor, CEO, CFO, CEO. You may be the most successful whatever in the eyes of man. But until you get alone with God, and God touches your life and cleanses you and purges you, until you decide to make Him the priority, the number one in your life, your success is fleeting. It's passing. It won't last. It can't last. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying today? Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. I just want to read one verse there, and I want to share with you what God gave me, because it was something that God spoke to me yesterday. And I'm just sharing to you out of my heart prophetically what God's given me for you today. One verse. This is Jesus and the prayer. The disciples asked Him, teach us how to demonstrate. And Jesus said, this is how you do it. And they saw it. They saw Jesus go away and pray, come back, and miracles would happen. We say, will we ever see miracles again? And I declare to you that miracles is ours, but will we pray to see them happen? Will we begin to declare that His kingdom has come in the midst of our church? Are you hearing me? Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Are you hearing it today? I preached and taught Wednesday on this message that we pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me very quietly and very soundly these words to me. The kingdom and the power of the kingdom is in the message of the gospel. Jesus already paid that price when He said to us and declared these words in John, and He said, it is finished. Everybody say, it is finished. I want you to know the kingdom is in the power of the cross. That's what He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 there. He tells us that the power of the gospel is in the cross. So if the power of the gospel is in the cross, and Jesus already paid the price on the cross of Calvary, the Lord spoke to me this weekend and said, in some areas of your life, you need to walk in the power of the kingdom that's already in your life. But the areas in your life that the kingdom does not rule, you need to pray and recognize the kingdom's not ruling in that. And then you do pray, thy kingdom come. But there's areas in our life, and how many knows this today, there's areas in our life that the kingdom is not ruling. Come on, let's be honest. I don't want you to raise your hands, but let's be honest. There's certain areas of our life that the kingdom of God is not ruling. Righteousness, peace, and joy is not ruling in our lives. So I want you to see this next part here. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. It's an interesting chapter. Fascinating chapter. And I preached much out of it, but here the Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning. If you're there, say amen. Hebrews chapter 12.
In verse 24, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more," everybody say it once more, "I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken." Everybody say things. Things that are shaken. Everybody say it again. Things are being shook. Come on, say it. Things are being shook in my life. Everything is being shaken. The spiritual things and the earthly things. Amen. How many is walking through a shaking right now? How many knows that there are things in your life that are being shaken? Raise your hand if you know it's the truth. Come on. Raise your hand. You know one thing, either physically, financially, soulishly, spiritually, there's something in your life that's being shaken right now. Amen. If it's not being shaken, I'd be concerned right now, especially in the season that we're in. If you're at ease in Zion and everything is fine and you think everything is copacetic, I say hot dog for you, because I can't say praise God, because I don't think God has anything to do with it. If your life is being shaken right now, there's a reason why. Are you hearing it? There is a reason why. Look what he says here. As of the things that are being made, the removing of those things that are shaken. So what is he going to do with the things that are being shaken? What does it say there? The removing of the things that are going to be shaken. Is that what it says? Is that what your Bible says? Amen. Amen. Does somebody have a Jewish Bible or something that says the opposite? I felt a quietness there for a second. Amen. All right. So as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may what? Remain. Wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, a kingdom that what? Cannot be moved. What is the one thing that cannot be moved in our life? It's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the one thing that cannot be moved in your life. If righteousness, peace, and joy is established in your life, it is the one thing that cannot be moved. Because I want you to know that crisis reveals what is going on internally in your life. If you have no peace when crisis comes, that is an indication that there is something being shaken in your life. And if you, the things in your life are being shaken, they're being shaken because why? Because God is trying to remove the things that can be shaken in your life. How many hears what I'm saying to you? If you're living in a fault area where earthquakes happen all the time, the last thing you want to do is put your mother's china up on the wall. So I would want to make sure that all the things that are precious to me, the things that are valuable to me, I would want to make sure that they're in that safe place, in that place that is covered by one thing, the kingdom of God. If your marriage is being shaken, if your finances are being shaken, if there is your spiritual life is being shaken, it is because that God is trying to reveal something to you. Not how bad you are, but how much God wants to come into your life and change it and bring it into submission into the kingdom of God. Why? Because, darling, those things aren't working. Amen. How many hears what I'm saying? That's why I don't go out to my yard with those. Did you have those little hand shears? Amen. But how many of you are cutting your yard with it? I mean, spiritually, that's the picture I got. Can't help it. That's the way my brain works. But then, I mean, I saw that picture of some of you out on your hands and knees with the little hand shears, trying to cut your grass. Then people coming to you, "Well, why are you so busy?" "Well, because I'm cutting my yard." What do you mean you're cutting your yard? You know, right? Cutting your yard. They don't know you're... See, something is stealing from your life. Are you hearing me? You're using a mold. You're using a tool that is not getting the job done efficiently. Because look, what you're doing, it's a phrase my daddy used all the time. You're stepping over dollars to pick up dimes. You're stepping over spiritual dollars to pick up dimes. You're giving focus to the thing that is robbing you, that is keeping your spirit, your mind, your life, your marriage in a poverty mentality. When God wants to raise you up to a new level and tell you, darling, I've got a zero turn mower in the spirit that can get that job done and complete it and give you back time, give you back money. Well, Pastor, I'm saving money by, you know, cutting it with the shears. Look, you're going to see a white van pull up. Two guys are going to get out. They're going to have a long coat with long sleeves. They're coming after you. They're going to take you on a long extended vacation with free meds and your own room with a lot of people who are just like you. Why would we do that? That's insane, Pastor. That's silliness. That's foolishness. But are we not in the same context in our life? We are trying to resolve the issues in our life. We're trying to cut those things down. We're trying to deal with them. We're trying to resolve them. We're trying to figure them out. And here we are. Clip, 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 clip. And night has fallen. And there we are with a pin light. Clip, 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 clip. Clip, clip, clip. Can you imagine what it's going to look like tomorrow morning? It's going to look like a drunk man came through. I want you to get that image in your mind this morning that there are things that are being shaken in our life. There are ideologies. There are doctrines. There are mindsets that are being shaken in your life. You say, why is that? How do you know that, Pastor? Because they're being shaken in my life. They're being shaken in my life. You think it's easy after 63 years that I'll be this coming Tuesday. My God. Jesus. 63 years. And when you get to that age, man, you're hoping, Jesus, I hope I have some things right in my life. But how many knows it's always God moving through your life? Why? Because when you worship, when you begin to give yourself to God, look, even attending here is a declaration that you want something different, that your worship is different. Maybe you're not the one who's always raising their hands, but the worship's going on in your heart, and it's touching your heart and your life, and you hear it in your spirit, and you don't know quite what to do yet, but I declare to you that God's bringing you into a new place because He's shaking everything that's not like Him out of your life. And if you want it to be a smooth transition, then you got to learn to worship. It's the hardest thing for me to do. Used to, not now. Amen? There's something about, especially a man, surrendering himself, bowing his knee, bending his will to something. I've been a proud man most of my life. And I've not had to depend on a lot of people. But see, that was an attitude of a man who had not been broken. A man who has not been broken is a man who is a judgmental man. A man who has not been broken is a critical man. A man who has not been broken is a man who is not sensitive to anyone else but his own needs. But I want you to know that when you go to brokenness and God begins to break things in your life and He allows those things to happen. Why? Because He's still the sovereign God. And darling, whether you realize it tonight, everything is under His sovereign rule. That's not only you, but even the demons in hell and Satan himself are still under the sovereign rule of Almighty God. And one day it'll all be rectified. I promise you that. But hear me today and listen to me carefully. When God allows things to begin to come through your life and you're being broken, I want you to know that you only then find, because everything else is gone, and you find only one place to go. That is to your knees. That is to your knees. With your hands up saying, God, I can't do it any longer. I can't do this by myself any longer. I can't carry this load any longer. I can't carry this grief any longer. I can't carry this sorrow any longer. I need someone greater than me, God. Woe. Woe is me, Lord. Woe is me. It was in worship that I finally saw him. Amen. I finally saw him. Amen. I finally saw him. Jesus, help us, Father. Help us, Father. And this word yet once more signified the removing of those things that are shaken as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, Father. Let us have your divine power, your ability today. Come on, that's what you need to pray for right now. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I have to share with you is that James tells us this: God resisteth the proud, but to the humble he gives more grace. I used to think that, what did I have pride? Proud, people would say that you're proud and you have pride. And I would say, well, how can I? I'm not rich and I don't have a lot of money, dirt poor, and didn't have a lot of education. And how could I be proud? But see, proud and pride is not just in what you have. Pride can be found in, I'm going to do it by myself. I'm going to do it alone. I don't need the body. I don't need you. I can do this myself. See, the danger, the glorious thing about the workman clan is you're never alone. Whether you want to be or not. But you know the issue with it too? Yeah. The issue is we can be self-sufficient. And we can give an impression that we don't need help, that we don't need anybody, that we are ultra strong, and that we never need anybody to help us. We know what it's like to be that way. So God makes sure that there's plenty of things that come in your life to where you realize. See, when I recognize my need of Him, can I share something with you today? When I recognize my need of Him, I recognize my need of you. See, I can never, and listen to this, I want to read you this today. If you're taking notes, it's a couple of cool things I wrote down. We were redeemed to be able to worship Him. But until you can worship Him, you'll never serve Him. See, when people are not serving, I understand why. Because they're not worshiping Him. They don't see the need to serve. Because they're still serving themselves. First upward, then outward. See, first God, then man. See, I can never see you. See, Isaiah had it backwards. He saw Uzziah, but he couldn't see God. When he no longer could see Uzziah, he then was able to see God. See, you want an answer for your lives. You want a solution.
for your dilemma. You want a solution for your physical need, your financial need, your home, your children. Come on. Some of you are looking for spouses. You're looking for help. You're looking for solutions in your life. And my question is not an accusation, because I don't know your heart. But here's my question to you is, how much time are you spending in worship? Well, Pastor, I don't know how to worship. See, that's not true. That's what you have said. It's not true. You say, how do you know, Pastor? Because you've got the God of worship who lives and abides within you. Everybody, right now, say this most important word with me. Thank you. Everybody say that. Thank you. That's worship. You want to begin someplace? Then begin in this place. Begin to thank Him for your life. Thank Him that He died on Calvary for you. Thank Him for His Holy Spirit. Thank Him that you woke today in your right mind. Because there's people today who woke up and did not wake up in their right mind. We know a lady that attends this church. She's not here every Sunday. But she would give anything. Anything. If she could get up, walk to her bathroom and take a shower and dress herself and come to the house of the Lord and drive herself here. But she can't. She has to depend on somebody else to take care of her. But I've never seen anybody with a brighter spirit, with a more command of the love of God and worship in her life. I know this woman worships because every time I'm around her, I feel the presence of God. You can't manifest the presence of God without worship. Amen. You'll know when I'm not worshiping. It won't be hard to figure out. My family does. Pastor Karen does. Amen. She just goes into deep intercession. You don't want me not in prayer. You take me out of prayer. You take me out of worship. It's not pretty. It's not a good thing. Because then what happens is then I resort to my old nature, my old ways. I resort to brute strength, to dominance, to being a bully. Don't work. It's not working. It's not working. It doesn't take a scientist. You don't have to go through therapy for 3 months. I know some of you are uncomfortable right now, but you should be. Because the presence of God, that's called conviction. That's called God convicting your heart of an attitude. But Pastor, I don't think church should be a place where we come, we feel uncomfortable. It should be the place. Because you know what? If you just felt uncomfortable and there was no solution, that would be different. But there's a solution here. Need to worship. We need to go to a different level of worship in this house. The musicians and the singers, my question is how much personal time are you spending in worship? Because there's only one thing that matters on this platform and only one thing that matters in this church. Who's the Lord? And it's not Mark Workman. It's Yahweh, the sovereign God of the universe, that is the Lord of this house. There's no way, and some of you that have been here for years knows, there's no way we could have done this in our flesh. This has been a God thing from day one. But we've got to press on into a higher place, into a different level. How many believe that today? Say, Pastor, we've got to press on. We've got to lean in to a different place. I've got to lean in to a different place in my life. Don't you sense it? Don't you sense the call of God on the inside of you? Don't you sense that deep abiding call that God is calling you to a different place, into the bedchamber? That He's calling you into an intimate place? You've tried to do this on your own. You've tried to reason it out. Your work, and the harder you work, the less you have. Something's being shaken. The thing, the place that you're setting is being shaken. How can you do anything? Amen. How can you do anything if you're sitting here and you're constantly being shaken? No. Say, what do I do, Pastor? Say, God, whatever you're shaking, let me see it and I let go of it. Because I'm holding on to something that you're trying to get out of my life.
Whew!
Man. You're trying to get something out of my life and I keep holding on to it. I keep holding on to this thing. I keep embracing it. I've let it be something in my life that has been a thing of worship, a thing that I have clung to. Some of you have clung to it for years, but the Holy Spirit is speaking today. Let go of that thing. Let go of it and let God do it. You have tried to figure it out long enough. God have it today. I'm sorry. Man, I can sense God so much in this service today. So much. And there's things being shaken all around us. But you know what? It only tells me God is moving. You tell me God, anywhere that God's going to walk through, He's going to cause a rumble. Are you hearing me? Amen. If God walks through your life, you think things are not going to be shaken. Things are not going to be moved. They're going to be moved. They're going to be shaken. When God comes through our lives and God is walking through this house, He's walking through this auditorium. He's walking through your life. He's walking through your family. God's walking through your personal life right now. And you've tried to push it off. You've tried to press it out. You tried to ignore it. But you can't. Come on, stand with me today. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
It's all about you, Jesus.
If I'm not a part of it. But I've been a voice that God's called to declare. Do you hear me? I've been a voice that God's called into this area to say it's time for reconciliation and restoration.
Yes.
It's time for God to heal old wounds. It's time for God to do something extraordinary and different in our lives and move us into a new place. If you're one of those people today, not just that, but you're one of those people, you know that God is shaking, that God's dealing in your life. I want you to get out of your seat. I want you to come down to the front. I'm going to pray with you today. I feel a special anointing today to pray. I'm not asking anybody else to come, just I today. If you're that individual, I want you to step out of your seat. Don't delay. Don't mess with this thing.